Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized, interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Well, when this one got started here in Citi Field, it looks like the Phils were going to put up a bunch of runs here tonight. They didn't. They put up two, but it was enough to get their fourth win in a row. And the Phillies keep on rolling on, and they break that long 10-game losing streak here at Citi Field as well. Yay. As they win it tonight over the Mets 2-1. You can cheer. That's acceptable. Yeah. Hi, everyone. Welcome into Phillies Playback. It's a Friday night, so it's a Friday night roundtable edition of Phillies Playback. Scott Fransky is here. Kevin Stocker is here. I am here. Greg Murphy and Ruben Amaro Jr. going to come over from the television side in just a bit. Paul Schrager is here, our engineer here in the booth. And that was a fun one tonight. A little bit different for the Phils as they had been putting up so many runs down there in D.C., albeit late runs. But they just get the two tonight. But they get a great outing from Zach Wheeler. And now 10 games. 10 games 10. Over 500. Before the All-Star break, who would have thought it?
Yeah, I think you did. I think you asked me a month and a half ago something about where would they be at All-Star break, and I'm like, meh. You were like, yeah. You, I mean, your belief system is so good, Murph.
You know, the team's it's a good team, and they're playing. Obviously, they're playing much better baseball right now as well.
I mean, this game tonight was sparked by the catch, right? Yeah. I mean, right out of the get-go, the catch by Hill out in center field, one of the best catches I've ever seen, honestly.
Let's talk about it, because it was great. As Ruben Amaro Jr. has just jumped on the headset as well from the TV side of things. Thank you, sir. Welcome over here.
Donning.
Give me your thoughts on the catch.
Donning my hat here today.
Yeah, you do. You have your
might have to have a microphone, though.
I can hear him.
I can't hear him.
You can't hear Rube?
I can't hear myself. Fine. There we go.
You're sounding great. So give me your thoughts on the catch. And by the way, the hat
looks
great.
We had to make Paul Schrager work.
For a change. No, the thing that we've been talking about a lot, obviously, because it was, one, a game changer, but two, you know, as an outfield instructor, you watch and you sort of hope guys do exactly what he did. He did everything perfectly well. The thing that was so impressive to me was his direct line to the baseball, his instinctive move to look at the ball, then the wall, then ball, and make the catch in rhythm, basically, and make the jump, the leap in rhythm. He did exactly what you want an outfielder to do on that play, and you probably couldn't draw it up any more perfectly. And and he did it without fear, and he did it, you know, actually pretty effortlessly.
He made it look easy, right?
He made it look a lot easier than the catch was. It was one of the best catches I think I've seen.
Yeah, it's certainly one of the best catches I've seen. And, I mean, so athletic to be able to get up and over that wall. Scott, you pointed out during the broadcast, it was like his shoulder. So how tall is that wall out there? Do you know off the top of
your head? I believe it's 8.
It's 8 feet. So his shoulder was even with that orange line that designates the home run. And, I mean, folks will go back and look at it. But it is... His arm is completely over the wall to make that catch. I likened it to the Jordan logo. That's what it looked like when he took off, legs spread, one arm out, and he makes the catch. And, you know, that's an iconic logo for athleticism, and that's what he looked like out there. It was a lot of fun, for sure.
So there's an outfielder that that many of these folks who are listening probably won't remember, a guy named Henry Cotto. And Derek Hill reminds me of him. He played in Chicago for quite some time. He's like a third or fourth outfielder and played in the 80s, I believe, with the Chicago Cubs. He looks like him. He's the same sort of body, same sort of athleticism. But I look at Derek Hill and I think to myself, that's Henry Cotto. Wasn't a great hitter, but, you know, would come up with some big hits from time to time. But his movements on all the things that he does, I mean, it's really fun to watch him. And he's got serious ups, man. Yeah. I mean, he can really fly.
Yeah.
And obviously has great,
great
athleticism.
Stock asked if he thought he could dunk. And I think the answer
I would think we're going to have to find out. You know what we need to find out, too, is he did that whole catch. I mean, how dangerous is that with a toothpick in his mouth?
You know what? Doing anything with a toothpick in your mouth is dangerous.
Right?
He's playing a major league baseball game with a toothpick in his mouth.
He's UL-ing it.
Yeah, he is.
You told him the story the other day about
Toothpick Sam.
Sam swallowing the thing. And he's like, what?
Yeah.
Like, he had to know it's
possible.
Well,
yeah, you have to think about
that. Well, right? I was actually surprised he had never heard about Sam Jones.
Yeah.
Who we told the story about, I don't know, last week or whatever, shortly after he was the first African-American pitcher ever to throw a no-hitter in the major leagues. And one of the broadcasters for the Cubs, I think it was, had promised him a gold toothpick if he ever threw a no-hitter. And he did. So he bought him a gold toothpick. It was $11, according to the Saber.
What do you think they are nowadays?
Yeah, I don't know.
$100.
I don't know.
Yeah, you think?
But I told Derek that the other day. He said, man, that's electric.
Yeah, it is.
And
I said, thinking about it now.
I said, all right. And he said the same thing. He said, I'm pretty sure that would be way more expensive now.
Nowadays, you got to get yourself a platinum one. Yeah, all right.
That's more expensive, isn't it?
Yeah, platinum. Got to go.
Of course.
I think he's in it for the flavors.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, gold, what was it? What is this? It's mint strawberry or something?
Watermelon.
There's a few different ones. There's a watermelon one, but there's also another one. He's got two different, like a peppermint one.
Peppermint seems to be the norm.
Does he switch them out in-game? Like, does he chop on them enough to, like,
I don't know,
get the juice out of them and move on?
I would think so, right? I mean,
toothpick juice?
You go through a toothpick pretty quickly if it's wooden, right? I do. Yeah. If you chew on it for a minute or two,
it's got to go.
It's got to go.
It's a little like gum, right?
Brooksy here has done a quick search. He can get a gold-plated toothpick for $80.
Oh, we should get him one.
Yeah.
We should get him one. Rob, can we expect something?
Yeah, well, what's...
Because I ain't about $20.
From the broadcasters.
I mean, Scott can get him one.
Yeah. Yeah, Big Bank Hank over here can buy one. am I right in saying that there's another famous toothpick, you know, in Philly's lore, right? Didn't UL Washington
make the final out?
And didn't he make the final out in the 80 World Series? Was he the final out? Or was it Willie Wilson?
Willie Wilson.
Oh, it was Willie Wilson. Okay. But UL was he was on that team.
Lineup. Yeah.
Okay.
Shortstop.
But he used to chew on the toothpick too.
Oh yeah.
I remember that as a kid. But
Dusty Baker likes his toothpicks.
Yeah, but he didn't play with one, right?
I don't think that he did. Only managed with one. It's a difference.
Hey, so I mentioned this to Stock last night, and it'll be great to have with Ruben in the conversation too, because and that catch just kind of solidifies it even more. I said to Stock last night on the postgame show, this season's starting to unfold a little bit with a 93 feel to it. Like, you know, late inning heroics, a grand slam late, a home run to win a game, an amazing
catch. They haven't hit a
grand
slam yet.
I know they haven't, but they're going to. That's the thing. It's going to happen, right? You almost feel like it's going to happen. But, the catch tonight, akin to what Milt did. And it's just so many different things that are happening. Guys up and down the lineups, you know, guys that are, you know, the Derek Hills of the world that are, they're contributing. It just has a 93 feel to me as a fan in 93. And I don't know, you know, what about you? Is that fair? Am I?
Yeah, I think in 93 you actually had some guys like come up and do some things that you didn't expect to. First of all, you didn't expect almost every one of those players who were like platooning, have that three-way platoon to have like the career years. Like almost all of them had career years later on in their careers. But you also got contributions from everybody, whether it was, you know, a starting pitcher or a bullpen guy or, you know, somebody that came from AAA or whatever the case. Maybe Stock came from AAA and solidified the middle infield. I mean, it was it was huge.
Who?
Kevin.
Well, the narrative going in on 93 was they were. You guys were the scrappy, you know, kind of grinder type bunch. That's not the narrative. That's not the personality of this club.
No, it's not. But the narrative
this is the superstar roster of
and that's fair. But yeah. But I don't know. It just I remember that summer, and I had just graduated college. We're watching every game. You know, we're out every night. We're drinking beers in the bars, and watching. Yeah, that's what I was doing while you guys were playing.
sounds like our team.
But it was like it was a thing in Philly, and it was just every night you're like, they're going to do it again.
There's something magical about that season. I remember watching most of it from AAA, watching it from Scranton, where, I mean, they were just figuring out ways to win games. Yep. Like, it didn't matter what the situation was, but they'd figure out ways to win games, and then it sort of snowballed, which is what's happened since the time that, Wheeler started. You know, started his season in what was it? I think it was April 25th or whatever it was.
Like that. Yep.
And I think from that point on, there has just been this feeling that they just started rolling.
I'll say something, and I think, I mean, obviously this has been an amazing week, and it's been a kind of a singular. Obviously, what they did in Washington had never happened before in the history of baseball.
Right. Again.
Right. So, and then tonight they find a way to win, but it's a different type of situation. Obviously, you know, one of their the newcomer Derek Hill is a huge part of it, but I'm curious from a player's perspective. They're starting to develop a personality that doesn't require Schwarber and Harper to do something amazing. Now Harper had a big game tonight. Harper had a big hit last night, and I wonder if some of that is born out of the fact that he himself can see that there are other people contributing. There are other people playing the hero. There are other guys who can do the job.
You asked him that last
and
night.
And he can kind of relax and play your game. Now, I don't know how deeply they think about stuff like that. Probably not a lot. He's just up there trying to hit the ball hard every time. When you start to get a team that has the personality of one that it doesn't require one guy to do all the work or two guys to be the hero every time, like the 93 Phils, where you guys would get contributions from all these different platoon guys, right, and mixing and matching and all this other stuff, I think that's fun to watch.
I think one we did talk to Trey Turner afterwards. I'm not sure if you guys had him as well, but we got Trey, and one of the things that he did say to that point was that he had been – and I don't know. I don't know if it was because of other guys having more success, but obviously he had been struggling for quite some time, and lately he's been swinging the bat a little bit better. But he said, "I've just decided it's time for me to just be myself. I've been trying to be too perfect. I've been trying to do this. I've been trying to do that. I'm just going to let myself hit and get good pitches to hit and put them in play and see where it goes." I don't know if that is bred from the fact that other guys are doing it and they haven't really. They need him, but they haven't. You know, other guys have done it to help them win. But he did have that mentality. That was something that was important to him. At least that's what why he feels he's having a little bit more success lately.
Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's what you want to hear.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if the person. I get what you're saying, Scott. The personality wise, but also like, I mean, when those two were carrying the team, nobody else. There was no Turner. There was no Scott. There was no Bohm.
The point is those guys are supposed to be the best players, right? They're supposed to be the best offensive performers. Trey is supposed to be in that mix as well, the three of them at the top. So they're supposed to be it. And they're going to be it more nights than not, than everybody else. But they can't be it every night. That's baseball. They're still going to make outs. They're going to go through slumps. They're going to go through ups and downs. Yeah. And I think when they would have slumps or ups and downs, nobody else was helping out.
Yeah.
And
no, I get
now,
all that.
And now you're getting help from
elsewhere. Yeah, but out of spring training, it's the same personality, but it was like a split personality. Like, the, you know what I mean? Like,
well, no, but I don't know. Don't you think if Brandon Marsh comes up in the ninth inning now, he knows he can be the guy. I'm talking about when the game is on the line, like in that big moment where you have to make that one play that makes the difference, right? That one flip of the win probability. You just had four, you had three nights in a row, you had four ninth inning homers mm-hmm. that were go ahead or game tying, and they were hit by four different players. Four different yeah. players.
And only one of them by Harper.
Right.
Yeah.
Marsh, Stott, Derek Hill. Now, down the line, maybe it means more to them than it does to Harper. They talk often about, well, that's Harp being Harp, right? He's the showman. He's this, he's that. Hey, we don't need to wait around for Harp to do it. We have shown that we can do the same thing. We can be the guy in that moment. We're not scared if we're holding the bat with a game on the line in the ninth inning.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm watching Stock's face as you're unfolding this, and it's so funny to me because I actually thought about this today in the dugout. One of the reporters here was asking this kind of deeper meaning question about the way players think about a certain situation, similar to what you're saying about, you know, does Harp, is he able to relax if other players are doing
and
it?
Players and like, the players are like, all like nah. We don't even think about that.
Yeah, Don Mattingly was like,
I'm trying to get
nah,
my
A
swing
so.
off.
Exactly.
There's yeah. some truth to that.
It's
Ruben
so
knows.
Funny. You guys are just like, now we're as broadcasters, we're like building the narrative and the right. story, and you know there's music in the background. You guys are like, nope. No,
like my, what you're seeing like on my face is nothing more than
gas.
A whole bunch of gas, Murph. Yeah,
that's what I thought. That's what it looked
no,
like.
It's like a wow. real it intention a of trying to understand that point of view, and then thinking, okay, is that. Like, I don't want to give an answer that's, like, not true. Like, is that how it is, like, in a clubhouse? Right. You think like
you're
that
really
in a clubhouse.
Thinking about whether,
yeah. yeah. Yeah, just to make sure I understand the point of view. I'm just some...
It's, let's
just
take
the word
it on...
personality. It's the word
take
personality.
It on a, let's take it on a lower level. Player comes up
I should
to
get
leagues.
It if it's like, lower.
Yeah, yeah.
No. I don't mean a lower level. Let's talk about
you.
Lower stakes.
Okay.
Okay? It's not about winning the game on the line. It's about coming to the big leagues for the first time and believing that you belong there.
Right.
That's not automatic.
Correct.
That happens over time because you have success.
Correct.
Isn't it the same thing that I have success in the first inning and I always strike out in the ninth with the game on the line? You think of that. You are a human being. You may think you get in the box and I'm going to do my thing and I'm going to look for a pitch to hit. But at the end of the night, you say, wow, I just got another ninth inning at bat, and I
whiffed.
Right. there is something to be said for the confidence of a player
no,
in
get that
moment.
100%.
Right?
Absolutely. But when I think of the word personality of a team as a whole, so I'm trying to think of you know, does the personality change? Like, this is the same, basically the same team as last year. So, like, Brandon Marsh. I'm just like, this team is built around the home run and they're starting pitching and so forth. That's their personality. But if they don't perform, it doesn't change their personality. They just stink at that time. The personality of the team, they are who they are. I'm like, you know, I'm not disagreeing with anything you said in regards to, you're right, like Brandon Marsh now believes. I get all that, but I don't know that he necessarily didn't believe. But versus like if you add Derek Hill, Rincones, they lost Garcia, right? You add enough players, do they bring in something that changes the personality of the team?
Yeah.
One thing that I do that does resonate with me, and this is where I this is how I feel about it, is when you trust your other players, knowing that you don't have to do it every time, and you trust guys hitting behind you, and you can like pass the baton, or if you screw up, you know somebody will pick you up. There is some teams do change in that regard, and there is that feeling that sort of is gets created, and that causes winning. I mean, I remember, isn't it a feeling
you have freedom for you as a player. I'm going to go play.
That's what Charlie talks about. I'm going to make plays.
I'm going to make mistakes, but I know that other guys are
going to pick me up.
Are going to pick me up, and but there's a freedom in that.
There is a freedom, and there's no 100%. To me, there is no substitute for being relaxed. I remember that. It took me like 3.5 years in the big leagues to be able to stand in the box and feel like I was like sort of taking batting practice. I didn't have to get a hit.
Right.
And, you know, I wasn't very good, but at least I didn't feel like I had to get a hit because I felt a little bit more comfortable. And comfort is a huge part of being relaxed and playing your best ball.
It's just sports that, in general. Just that notion alone. I don't have to get a hit. Allows you to not think about the result. It allows you to think about what you're supposed to do as part of the process.
Right.
100%.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you talk about
that's
that all
the
time.
Big thing. If you're not focused and worried about the result, I have to get a hit or I'm going to get sent down. You're cooked, right?
And that's a great point. And that goes to where, like what you were just talking about, like broadcasters are like, oh, he's just relaxed. He's going to do great. And yes, you're relaxed, but then you're 0-20 and you're like, I'm going to get sent down. That's the reality of
it. There's going to be a yellow tag in my locker room when I get back.
That's the reality. Yeah. What did you just call it?
Major league.
That's right.
they hang the tag in the locker. Well, whatever it is. Whatever.
They definitely are playing more
There is a mindset whereby when you believe in yourself or you play and let your athletic ability and your baseball ability come out, you will be playing your best baseball. Yeah. That's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, I want to change topics real quick because I want to give folks at home and in their cars, beating the traffic from where they're going, just an idea of some big league travel that we went through last night. Because
I didn't sell a train ride right up here.
So you got up here no problem. So last night we obviously the team played in Washington, and then after the game was over at what, like 10 o'clock, after everybody gets on the buses, and I think we got on the train at about 11 o'clock, right? 11 o'clock to head to New York. It was a 3-hour train ride. So now you're looking at 2 o'clock to get to Penn Station here in New York, and the train ride was great, and it's comfortable.
A little longer than we thought.
It was a little longer, right? I think it was like 3:20 or something like that.
You didn't have the speed a Acela train?
No, we did not. We had the regular
the rocking and rolling.
In fact, Stock had to shovel coal into the engine.
We had to take turns.
Yes. All that soot.
Yeah.
But good job, by the way.
Thank you. I was working.
But so then we arrive in New York City, right? And we disembark
that's right.
from the train. And there's one person saying, all right, just go that. So there's, 65, 70 people in the travel party. Head that way and find an escalator, the escalators, and we'll take it up into Penn Station. Our buses will be waiting there. So we're all going. And we're, I'll admit, I had a couple glasses of wine, so I was just following along at that point.
Two in the morning, of course. You're just following the person in front of you.
So we're all trudging, and we finally get to a staircase, and everyone's kind of heading up the staircase, and we're probably, Scott and I are next to each other, we're probably 30th in line of the 60 person train.
Yeah, we're back in the
we emerge to the main floor of Penn Station. It's completely deserted, and there's barricades everywhere. We're in the middle of this area where you couldn't you couldn't go anywhere.
Right. There were some stairs off to the right that some of the traveling party had gone up, and they found that the doors were locked, so they couldn't get out to the street. Turns out they were totally the wrong doors anyways.
They'd have been on the other side.
So they were coming back down the stairs, and we're all in this area. And there's shops, you know, there's 14 Dunkin' Donuts along the way or whatever. Yeah. And we're all just sitting there like, well, where are we supposed to go? And everybody's looking at each other.
Players, coaches, broadcasters, just all kind of looking at it. And then there's one gentleman who was really trying to be helpful. I guess he worked at Penn Station. And he had like a push mop or a push broom. And he's kind of like, follow me, everybody. I can lead you to the buses.
He's holding the broom up in the air.
He's like, I can help you all. And we're all just
kind
of like looking at
him. Follow me. I have a key.
Yeah.
I have a key. And everybody in the party was like, should we?
And no one moved. And he's just like, he could not have been more enthusiastic to lead the group to freedom.
At 3 in the morning.
To find the buses in the middle of Manhattan.
Did anybody
just kind of looked at each other and
that would have been funny.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to go with the guy with the mop. And we all just stood there and we waited.
He was persistent.
Yeah.
He kept saying,
you must follow me. At one point, I'm pretty sure he ripped his shirt off. So finally.
I will say, and this is, you know, I'm not.
There was one member
of the traveling party who, and I'm not going to say who it was, but one member of the was like, we're in the middle of this, and we've been sitting there for a couple of minutes, and he goes, I'm following him. And he just started walking.
I'm going with Broom Guy.
And just at that minute, a woman from Amtrak came up and met our traveling secretary and said, no, I'm so sorry. Come on this way.
And led us to safety.
To the promise.
However, here's the kicker.
Oh, yeah.
We emerge out of the doors we always emerge out of. On that side of Madison Square Garden, coming out of Penn Station, the same place the buses have been forever.
100 years.
Right. And we come up, and I'm walking up to the plaza, and I'm one of the first, because we were kind of in the back at this point, and then the whole group turned
kind of
around.
Flip-flopped.
Now we're in the front of the line, and we walk out onto the street, and Zach Wheeler is standing there all by himself outside the players' bus.
He knew where he was going.
He knew where he was going.
And I'm like, huh. Every time we come to New York, some players have their sort of their own program. They might get here a different way. And I'm thinking, my brain can't function at 2 a.m. I'm like, why is he standing here on the street? Everybody's behind me, you know, kind of thing. And I don't say anything I'm going to our bus and I get on the bus and there's like 5 people already on the bus.
Yeah. Dave Dombrowski was on the bus.
They've been sitting and waiting for us.
Like probably at least
they went the right way.
They didn't follow the broom guy?
Who?
They didn't follow the herd.
Yes.
Who was starting the herd?
They listened.
Well, I'll tell you that one person was near the front.
Don't do it.
Don't do it, all right.
It wasn't me.
Literally.
Entirely.
Did you lead them, Stop?
Just so people know.
No. Were you the broom guy?
No, he wasn't the broom guy.
Just so people know.
Follow me!
When you get off the train, you're kind of discombobulated. You don't know which way to go. And so you just follow the person in front of you.
It's a big group.
Right. Yeah. And you just assume that it always works out in the end.
If we would have walked into the East River, we would all just one by one into the East River. Plop, plop.
100%.
No doubt.
Lemming.
100%.
Yeah.
Follow us down this empty train track.
Yeah.
I just know when we got off the train, I was one of the earlier ones off the train.
Okay. Yeah.
They were like, just go down here and you'll hit the escalator and go straight up. They were adamant.
Right.
And they're great. And so it was me and 2 other people.
I thought
we
it was
went.
Real. When we were still on the platform underneath, still next to the train, I thought it was very curious in my mind that we were walking upstairs.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was where we ended up getting down to where we could only do stairs. It was like, it went down like Charlie and Chocolate Factory.
Someone missed the escalator. Somebody missed the escalator.
It was like a hard hook. So we just like, so anyway.
Well, I'll say this, the final thing on this, and then we'll call it a night. But the one person that you were talking about, Scott, that did decide to follow the broom guy, it was one of our coaches. And We haven't seen him since. He's in a closet somewhere at Pitt Station going, let me out.
Let's go get him. Let's get him on the 7 train and get over there.
We're going to go get him. We might need him. But all right, fellas. Well,
we made it.
Thank you. We did. We made it. Don't follow stock.
It wasn't me.
Stock. I didn't even get to your pants. I had that on the list.
Whoa. Wait a minute.
What?
Did you want to get to his pants somehow?
No. No, we don't need to go anywhere. I don't know what you're talking about.
This is a 7-day road trip, right?
The stock is like,
one pair.
Do we have to pick on me?
I knew. That's fine.
Stock, you got to learn in this business not to overshare during the week because people will use it against you. And by people, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Follow
I'm the only one.
Greg with the 3 Gs.
You know I'm taking notes all week long for the Friday Night Roundtable. So. Yeah, no, it's just that you're an outstanding packer.
Thanks, buddy.
We've talked about that before. You fit everything into a tiny little case. But now I know why. You brought one pair of pants for your 7-day road trip.
I wore them down with my wife to D.C., and she left. I'm like, oh, I'm going to change. I wore these the first day, and then I was like, huh.
Yeah,
they're maybe really I checked every drawer.
But
I
went to a clothing store that your son works at today.
Yeah, but it's high end suiting and clothing.
He's like, I've made it 5 days.
High end. Come on, man.
I'm not going to spend $1,500 for a pair of trousers.
Well, I will say that those are the most versatile pair of pants that I've
ever
seen.
Let me tell you something right now.
He could play an 18 in these easy.
Yeah.
I probably did that.
It's like a commercial.
Murph said, hey, you can borrow a pair of mine. I played golf in him twice. I'm like, wait a minute. I don't want those.
It's like a commercial. Stock's like, I can play 18 I gotta be holes in this pair of pants and go out on the town at night.
How?
Follow me. Follow me. With the broom.
They are the greatest pair of pants ever.
Sure are. They're
nice home
pants.
In 2 days.
I know. Yeah, those pants are going to walk home on their own.
I'll go get a pair tomorrow.
No.
Washington was different.
No
but
need.
Here, I mean.
Oh, that's a good point. Fashion.
I mean, throw
it,
a,
is, it is New York.
You're a stone's throw away from 10 stores
pants.
That you can buy some pants.
I know what I want, and they need to be hemmed. So then I'm like, do you buy it here?
Oh, well, then you won't even be able to wear them here.
I would. I would still wear them.
You just roll
them. I'd roll them up or pin them. Or
a little California roll.
Pin them and
you can roll.
I do a rush
that's
on
in
it.
Again.
Yeah, you could peg your pants like we used to do in college. You guys peg your pants?
I'll pass on that one. I'll stay away from that bad.
Oh man,
I never did that in college.
Sure.
Oh, you've changed.
Oh, man.
You've changed.
Oh my goodness.
You roll your pants.
In a
tight little cuff. That's what we call that.
Nothing
in,
like a
hanging.
Tight little cuff. Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
I think we've had enough.
I think that's it. Why do we always follow the same person?
Follow the leader.
Follow the leader.
Oh, God.
Maybe I'll wait and get pants.
Follow me. Follow me.
Maybe you should get pants.
Back to the pants.
All right.
All right. Let's go look for our coach. All right. We got to go. Thank you, guys.
See ya.
Thanks, Murph.
We will take a quick break here on the show, but when we come back, a few more things still to get to. We'll give you some out-of-town scores. We'll hear from manager Don Mattingly. That's all coming up. So stay with us on the Phillies Radio Network.
Looking for a simpler way to explore medical weight loss options? Orderly Meds connects you online with licensed healthcare providers so you can learn about GLP-1 treatment options from home. It's convenient, straightforward, and designed to fit your lifestyle. Get started today at orderlymeds.com/podcasts. That's orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Again, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Results may vary. Consult a licensed healthcare provider to determine if treatment is appropriate for you. Restrictions apply.